Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I have always been father, and will always be father. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
I'm Jim Burns. None of us has actually seen God, but we know that we can talk to Him and build relationship with Him through the power of prayer. At the same time, however, many of us get to the point when it seems that our prayer lives get somewhat stale and routine. I know it does for me at times. Dr. Larry Crabb knows how that feels. He's been a Christ follower for more than half a century, but he feels that it's only been during the past couple of years that his prayer life has been anywhere near what God wanted it to be. During the next half hour, I'm going to talk with Dr. Larry Crabb about getting the most out of prayer. This is a crucial topic for any Christian, but I believe it's especially important for parents to understand as we model spiritual values for our children to follow. So stay with us right here on Homeward, starting right now.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A very special guest today, Larry Crabb, is with us. We're talking about making the most of your prayers. He's written a brand new book called The Papa Prayer, The Prayer You've Never Prayed. And believe me, I've just finished this book, and it is a great book. And Larry Crabb is an author. He's a speaker. His PhD in clinical psychology comes from the University of Illinois. Well-known author, books like Connecting, Understanding People. He's the founder and director of New Way Ministries, and he lives in Colorado with his wife, Rachel, and they have two married sons and four grandchildren. Larry, welcome to our program.
It's great to be here, Jim.
Well, I have been waiting a long time to get you in person. You have been such an influence for me from afar in some ways. Yeah, we've even spoken at the same conferences, and I sit there and I'm taking my notes and getting a lot out of it, reading your books. But to have you here is a great privilege here in the studios at Homeward.
Thank you.
We're going to talk today about prayer, which is interesting because you're a psychologist. I mean, you're supposed to talk about connecting with people and things like that kind of stuff. But yet, this book was very powerful for me as you dealt with prayer. Have you moved in your thought process? Process from a way of people relating to prayer from when you were younger to now?
Oh, yeah. I think that the major shift that I've made is to recognize about 2 or 3 years ago that after being a Christian for 50 years, that prayer was the weakest part of my spiritual journey. In my prayer life has just been, I've been bored when I pray. It's just not been a strong thing at all. And I think I've come to realize that the relational disconnect that most of us feel, the loneliness that we feel, the isolation that we feel, has a whole lot more to do with the loneliness that we have in our relationship with God. We're not close to Him. We don't know how to relate to God. You've never seen Him. You don't hear His voice audibly, at least not too often. At least I don't. But I want to learn what it means to relate to God. And that led me into thinking about prayer in ways that I never had before.
It's interesting, Larry, that you would say this. I was thinking about my own prayer life a few months ago. And I was rushing through it. I was doing it. I said to my support group, I look good on paper right now because I do it, but I really don't have the intensity or the incredible passion or the presence of God. I'm just kind of doing what I'm supposed to do because that's what I've been taught and that's what I've taught others. And all of a sudden I realized, you know what? I'm doing that in relationships right now. I'm too busy. Somebody said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And I thought, you know, I'm busy with my wife. I'm busy with my kids. I still look good on paper. We're still going on the date. We're still doing these kind of things. I'm still praying. But all of a sudden I realized I'm praying almost empty prayers. Help me. What would you say to a guy like me who is struggling with that?
First thing I'd say is I resonate. I really do resonate. Can I tell a quick story here?
Sure, absolutely.
Our younger son went through a very difficult time, and I tell the story with permission, about 4 or 5 years ago. And he said, Dad, I've saved enough money to go halfway across the world, and I'm going across the world to get away for 10 days. And if I don't find God in a way I don't know Him now, I'm not going to make it. And so I said to him, I'm going to pray for you. I mean, that's what, you know, first thing you think of. I'm going to pray. And I said, while you're gone, I'm going to pray every day a minimum of 10 minutes. Well, 15 minutes, I said, actually. And it's going to be a lot more than that, but I guaranteed 15 minutes of prayer. He'd been gone for about 7 days, and I was driving somewhere, and I had time in the car, and I began to pray for Ken. And man, I say this to my shame. As I began to pray a sing-song prayer that meant nothing to me. I was bored as I prayed. Dear Lord, bless Kenny. Let's see. Let me change the channel on this station here. I don't like to hear music, you know. Dear Lord, take care of Kenny. I know he's hurt right now. And I thought, what on earth? I love this kid, and I'm praying bored. Why? What's going on here? And I began to realize that I'm not relating to God. I'm just kind of calling for the waiter to bring me some more coffee, kind of a mood. There's no relationship with the waiter. Just bring me my coffee, for crying out loud. And so I began to ask, what does it mean to relate to God on behalf of my son? And what actually happened is I began to realize what is most alive within me at that point, as I think about God and my son, who's halfway across the world, who's hurting bad, I began to realize that I would love for my son to be able to say, "Great is thy faithfulness in the middle of this mess." I began to sing that hymn. Then I began to sing, "I love you, Lord," that simple little chorus. And then I sang the third song, "It is well with my soul." And I sang, you know, I've been raised in a Christian home. I know all 10 verses of each song, you know. and I sang that as a prayer. It was alive within me. And I was crying so hard as I prayed that I pulled the car to the side of the road and sat there for an hour and sang those three hymns over and over and over and over again. It was my moving toward God and saying, "This is my soul, and I'm talking to you about what is most alive within me." We went to see Kenny 2 weeks later. I told him that story. He looked at me. He sat up in his chair. We were having lunch at a restaurant with Rachel and I and Ken. He sat up. He said, "Dad, when did you pray that?" And I said, "Well, it was, you know, Saturday 2 weeks ago about noon." He did his mental time zone calculations. He looked at me. This is a totally true story. Trust me, I'm telling the truth. He said, "Dad, that was the first day I had the courage to be by myself without distraction when I was far away. I went for a walk on the beach. It was my first time to walk by myself. And for 3 hours, feeling all the pain that he was going through, Dad, for 3 hours, all I could do was sing three songs. Great is thy faithfulness. I love you, Lord. It is well with my soul." True story. And I began to think, maybe there's a little more to prayer than I thought.
That brings goosebumps. At the same time, you know, oftentimes many of us want that, and it didn't work for us.
Yes.
You know, it was a formula. So now we're going to sing those three
things. Let's try that now. Sure.
How do you
it
move...
hasn't worked since, let me tell you.
But how do you move into that kind of a relationship when you want it so badly?
Well, you know, there's two kinds of prayer. Ultimately, there's many kinds of prayer. But one kind is what I call petitionary prayer, where you ask for things. The other I call relational prayer, where you come to God for the purpose not of getting more from Him, but of getting more of Him. And what does it mean to get more of God and not more from God? You know, if... When I've been teaching on prayer recently, I've asked audiences, I asked a church audience just very recently, about 800 people were sitting in the audience in the congregation, and I said, "How many of you have ever prayed for something you didn't get?" You know, and every honest person went, "Me." And I said, "So what do you suppose the Lord meant in Matthew 21:22? And he said, "Whatever you ask for, you'll get it." Did he tell a lie? Well, obviously he didn't. So what's he talking about? And then we began to unpack the mystery of prayer and say that the real issue, there really are two kinds of prayer. One kind of prayer is to God, "Here's what I want, but I don't know if it's your will or not. This is what I want, but if it's your will, yes, like the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, take this cup from me. But if it's your will to go, for me to go to the cross, I surrender to your will." And that's how we need to pray about health. We need to pray about our kids. We need to pray about our jobs. You need to pray about all the things that matter to us in those ways. But when the Lord said, "Whatever you ask for in prayer, I'll give it to you," he wasn't talking about all that kind of stuff. It would take too long to explain it, but I believe what he's saying in that passage is, do you want to know me? And anything that is going to bring you closer to me, when you're talking about that, I'm going to see to what happens, because it's always my Father's will that you be drawn closer into His heart. And you start praying relational prayer. The proper prayer is all about relational prayer. Right. You have some guarantees of answers. You start praying for a better job, for your kid to stop taking drugs, and pray for it, but you don't know what's going to happen. You don't have a guarantee there.
You know, Richard Foster calls that, and that scripture, the prayer of relinquishment. In many ways, it's relinquishing your will to the will of God.
And that's what has to be done. But one thing we do know, His will, we do know that His will is for us to be close to Him. Mm-hmm. So when I pray for that, that's a guarantee.
In your book, you talk about relational prayer lets us hear God's voice. Some of our people would say, "I don't really hear God's voice, and I don't really know what to look for when I'm trying to find His voice." What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I don't mean something crazy here. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that if you follow this formula, I don't have a formula in this book. I don't mean that if you follow this formula, you're going to actually hear God speak to you the way listeners are now hearing my voice.
Sure.
That has never happened for me. I've never heard God's voice audibly. But I believe that when you learn what relational prayer is all about, and this is brand new for me, Jim. I've been a Christian 53 years, and relational prayer is probably a year old in my life the way I'm doing it now. But it's been marvelous. It's been I like to pray now. I don't get bored when I pray. I really, really don't. Because I do hear His voice. But what that means to me is, have you ever been in a really dark room and you knew somebody was behind you? You sensed their presence, but you couldn't see them? That's what it is for me. I sense God's presence. I can sense His movement. I can sense His spirit directing me to a passage. I can sense His spirit prodding me in a certain direction. I don't hear His voice, but there are moments. I wish it were 24/7. It's not. Mm-hmm. But there are moments when I deeply sense the presence of God, and I know He's there speaking to me, not audibly, but letting me know that He's for me, letting me know the direction He wants me to go. when you relate to God, you sense that, just like in a good marriage. You know, I can sit with my wife in front of a fireplace in a cold Denver night, you know, where we live, and we can sit there for a couple of hours and maybe say very little to each other, but just enjoy. But in the course of that two-hour time, I'm not asking her for anything. I'm just enjoying her, relating to her. Our conversation is about getting closer, and I can sense her movement toward me. I can sense how she enjoys me, what she wants from me. I can sense those kinds of things in the very same way I can sense it from God when I learn to relate to Him the way I relate to Rachel.
Great, great input. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I know it's not a formula, but it is a process, this mm-hmm. Papa prayer, and it's really helpful. I want you to kind of walk through that with us. We'll be right back. Larry Crabb is with us. What a privilege to have this kind of topic on our Homeward program, and it really does relate to you as a parent and as a grandparent, because your kids really need from you, in many ways, to be an authentic prayer person, and you're not going to get them to grow spiritually if you're not growing yourself.
Amen. And as Jim has mentioned many times before here on the Homeward broadcast, it's important for us as parents to really set the tone in this area. And so today on Homeward, we're talking about getting the most out of prayer with Dr. Larry Crabb, who's Dr. Jim Burns' guest here in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. If you want to learn more about having meaningful prayer and devotional times with your family, check out Jim's book, Faith Conversations for Families. It's available online at homeward.com. You can get all the ordering information you need right there when you go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Debbie, are you ready?
Dad, why are you so stressed?
Just about, Bill.
I am not stressed, Tina. Oh, no, where is that book? Heather?
I'm right here, Dad.
Oh, what time is it?
He'll be here in 5 minutes, Bill. Have you found it?
Not yet.
What book are they looking for?
I think they're looking for a Bible. Pastor Robert's coming over to visit.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't do a whole lot of good to say you want your kids to learn to walk in the ways of the Lord, but then you, as their parents, don't really have any sort of relationship with God to model for them. Parents, you have such a tremendous influence on your children. Chances are your kids will develop their concept of God based on what they see in your relationship with Him. Proverbs 10:9 says, "The man or woman of integrity walks securely. He or she who takes crooked paths will be found out." Well, for a free copy of my tip sheet called Why Your Faith Matters to Your Kids, go to homeward.com.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Larry Crabb, and we're talking about making the most of your prayers. And what a privilege to have Larry Crabb with us here in studio. Larry Crabb is a PhD clinical psychologist from the University of Illinois, written outstanding books, great speaker. But what I appreciate most about Larry Crabb is he is authentic, genuine, and the real deal. And his books are just like this. Larry, before the break, I mentioned the Papa prayer. And you had said earlier, there's not a formula, but in some ways, people could look at this as a formula. That'd probably be dangerous, but there's a process to this Papa prayer. And I want you to take us through it in many ways for the pretty much the rest of the time. The first one is present yourself to God without pretense. And I loved what you had to say about that.
Yeah. When I began thinking about what does it mean to relate to God, I began asking myself, well, I've been thinking hard about how to relate to my wife and my kids and my friends. Have I ever thought about what it means to relate to God? I know what it means to beg Him for a lot of things mm-hmm. and to treat Him like a rich sugar daddy who ought to come through and do certain things for me. But what does it mean to relate to God? And that was actually a new thought for me. I say to my shame after being a Christian for all these years, but we talk about a relationship with God. Well, how do I develop a relationship with people that I'm close to? I let them get to know me. I don't pretend. I let them see who I truly am authentically. And, you know, the Psalms are full of this, where the psalmist says, you know, right now, I wish you'd take my enemies and take their kids and knock their heads against a rock. And it's like, oh, you're talking to God? What are you doing? Jeremiah's talking to God and saying, right now, you're like a dried up brook to me. I don't like you very much. And here I've been following you as a minister of the gospel for all these years. And now I'm hanging in a pit. Thanks a lot, God. You know, and I believe that if I'm going to relate to God authentically, that it's got to be the real me that meets the real Him. That's actually a Lewis quote. May it be the real I that meets the real you in prayer. And when I wake up in the morning, I just reflexively now begin by presenting myself to God. And I'll tell Him whatever's happening inside of me. He already knows. But I like to take part in the process of being known. And I'll start by saying, you know, God, I got a headache. I'm exhausted and I got to do this appointment today that I don't even want to do. I'm in a bad mood. Or I might say, I'm feeling great. I had a great night's sleep. I'm looking forward to the day. I'll just be completely unvarnished with the Lord. And I will literally go on like that for an hour. Hmm. Not every morning, but many mornings. I'll wake up like 4 or 5 and I'll just start talking to God. And I'll just take all the pretense off. It's just so silly. I mean, think about it. It's really silly to come to God with this religious voice, you know. Mm-hmm. And, dear Lord, it's so good to see the sunshine right in the morning, and I'm so grateful to get up and take a shower and get on with this miserable, you know. But when I start with that kind of honesty, then and realize that when I present myself exactly as I am, he's not backing away.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you say that. I was thinking about one of the most radical statements of Jesus. When you pray, say, Abba, you know, Daddy.
Yeah.
And Papa, obviously, is a great nickname like that, too. And so pretense says you're just yourself.
Yes. Take away all the pretense. Be exactly who you are in the presence of God. What's the point of being otherwise?
No, that's good. Attend to how you're thinking of God. Attend. You mentioned that a little bit, but what do you mean by the?
Well, this is a big deal to me. When you start asking a question, which I don't think a lot of us ask, I haven't asked this until recently, when I start praying, who do I think I'm talking to? You know, now that I'm getting to know you and enjoying you, and now I can consider you a friend, when I say Jim Burns, I know who you are. Who do I think I'm talking to when I'm talking to God? And I did a little survey when I was writing this book, and I asked people, well, tell me who you think you're talking to, when what image comes to mind? Mm-hmm. And one guy immediately said, I can tell you, a blank stare. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, I've been out of work for 2 years, and I've been talking to God about it, and all I'm seeing is just a blank stare. And another person I asked, was a woman, I asked her, what do you think of when you, who you think of God is when you talk about it, when you talk to him? And her response was, and this is very unkind, and forgive me, but this is what she said, I feel like I'm talking to a pygmy in a wheelchair. I'm talking to a little person who has no power, who can't even get out of his wheelchair to give me any help at all. And I said, are you serious? That's how you think of God? And she says, I am so fed up with prayer. It's not making any difference to me at all. And then sometimes we have a vending machine kind of an image, you know, put in enough quarters, get the prayer chain going. I've always been confused by prayer chains. I guess I believe in them, but I don't understand it. When I had cancer a number of years ago, we had many people praying for us. So what's the critical mass? Do you need 50 people to get the answer, or is it 230 people? Yeah. Exactly. What is it? And do we think of God as somehow is keeping track of all that sort of thing? What is our image of God? And I really don't think that the way I've been thinking of God over the years matches the way he reveals himself in the Bible.
Isn't that interesting?
And that's what I want to think about in the attending prayer.
One of the things I appreciate in your book is I think you had 10 most common images, the smiling buddy, the stern patriarch, the romantic lover, kindly grandfather. And I thought, you know, in many ways, as I look at those 10, which I won't name all of them, in many ways, I've kind of had an image of God, all 10 of those at one time or another.
Yes, I think I have too, absolutely.
You know, I mean, and yet what you're saying is it's important for us to attend to how we're thinking of him, and it may change.
Yes, yes. Okay. And to get a biblical picture. And this is where I think a lot of us as Christians are weak. We really haven't spent enough time in the good old book, you know, in the Bible, to get a picture of who is this Jesus that we're talking about. Is he just a friendly guy that just, you know, just likes to be nice to us and hang out and get us a cup of coffee when we're thirsty? Or is he the sovereign God of the universe? And just who is this God? And one of the things I develop in the book that takes too long to discuss now, I suppose, but when people read the book, I hope they take very seriously the chapter where I talk about the way Jesus is right now, who reveals the Father, is the way he revealed himself to John in Revelation chapter 1. He's got burning eyes that are looking right through. He's got a sword hanging out of his mouth. Is this a person you want to snuggle up with? You know, is this a person you want to get close to? And my answer is, when you understand who he is, you really do.
Yeah.
Because he's going to see everything wrong with you that's getting in the way of your relationship with him. And he's going to cut that out of your life because he wants you to be happy with him. He wants you to be close to him. He's going to cut out all the obstacles. Might not be pleasant, but boy, is it going to be good. He's not safe, but he's really, really good.
I like that a lot. Purge yourself of anything blocking your relationship with God. This is kind of the confession of sin.
And I think the word sin has to be defined there, because I've often asked audiences, all right, when's the last time you repented? You know, and people will say, oh, dear, let me think about that. 2 weeks ago, I was driving 50 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. I guess I had to repent of speeding. And my thought is, you have a very weak view of sin. C.S. Lewis has this great line. Every line he has is great. But one of the lines that Lewis said was this: put first things first, and second things are thrown in. Put second things first, and you lose both first and second things. What's the first thing in your life? Is the first thing in your life, well, getting my husband to respond to me? Or is the first thing in your life knowing God and bringing joy to his heart? And a legitimate second thing is wanting your husband to respond. Of course you do. But the minute you make that a first thing, you're an idolater. And confession of sin is, it's purging. And the proper prayer, the third letter P, purging is reflecting. And this might take half an hour. This might take 2 minutes. It might take 3 hours. Just reflecting on, what do I value more than I value God? What longing do I have that is stronger for something other than God? Do I want God more than I want anything else? We sing all the choruses, as a deer pants for the water, so my heart pants after you. That just isn't true half the time. Way down deep, I just want my wife to notice that I'm really tired and to be really sensitive to me and to really notice how hard I work and to be really appreciative. And I want that more sometimes than I want God. And I've got to say to the Lord, you know, I value my wife's response to me more than I value who you are. Forgive me for that, Father. I'm an idolater. I don't treasure you as the supreme value of my life. That's purging. That's confessing sin.
And I think we want that in the depths of our heart, and we're trying to still figure out how to do it. Larry, we're talking about the Papa Prayer, which you've been dealing with, and you deal with it so well in your book. And there's a last one. We did the P-A-P, and now A, approach God as the first thing in your life. We talked a little bit about this. Approach God as the first thing.
Yeah, Hebrews 4 says that we are to walk up boldly into his presence. The way Peterson puts it in the Message, we can walk right up into his presence to get what he is most eager to give. What is God most eager to give? Well, this is where he confuses me. It doesn't seem he's always most eager to give what I'm most eager to get. Mm. You know, I wouldn't mind the biopsy coming back and saying, hey, you're healthy, go play tennis, mm-hmm. as opposed yeah. to, hey, you're sick and need surgery. Yeah. But what is he most eager to give? And he has this crazy idea that the best thing he can give me is himself. And the more I mature, the more I agree with him. And he wants to give me himself. He wants to give me a sense of his presence. He wants to give me all the blessings of a relationship with him, which are a deep sense of security, a deep sense of being unthreatened, a deep sense of my own manhood, a woman's womanhood, a deep sense of my own being. He wants to give me all that because of a close, knitted relationship with him. Is that what I want the most? Or do I want my kids to be this? I want my job to be that? I want my bank account to be the other? What he wants most to give me is himself, and to approach God for the first thing of knowing him well. Archbishop Trent has this great line where he says, prayer must not be conceived as overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his highest willingness. What's his highest willingness? To let me know him. Jesus said it, this is life, that you might know God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. That's what it means to approach God, to get to know him.
Well, that is the prayer of our heart, and we've had a great conversation. I've got to ask you to come back so we can continue this conversation.
It'll be a privilege.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Larry Crabb here on the Homeward Broadcast, talking about getting the most out of prayer. Larry, the author of the book, The Papa Prayer, P-A-P-A. It's kind of a process to help enhance the quality of your prayer life, and that's a book that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. If you, as a parent, are looking for a way to be more intentional about setting the tone in your home with your kids, you can start with your family devotion time. We can scrap that terminology and make it more faith conversations for families. That's the name of a book Dr. Jim Burns has written. One of the most practical books Jim has ever published, actually, on this subject of just having faith conversation dialogue with your kids, so it doesn't have to be formal 3 points in a poem devotions. If you'd like to order a copy of Jim's book, Faith Conversations for Families, you can do so online in our online resource center. Our website is absolutely secure at homeword.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.